Okay, today is the 23rd of Kislev, the 11th of December, our second session studying the Sefer Olam Hamidos. Last time we learned from the beginning of the Sefer, the famous quote of the Vilna Gaon's commentary to Mishle, that the purpose of life, ki hi chayecha, as it says in Mishle, taking fast hold of Musar, which means fixing our Midos, that is the purpose of life. And Vilna Gaon has a very poignant statement. If not, what's he alive for? The Rambam and the Laws of Tshuva, where he's really writing halachos, he's writing laws, says that Tshuva is not just for actions, Tshuva is for midos, and he spells it out very clearly for us. And we saw at a more Kabbalistic level from Reb Chaim Vital that mitzvos are given at a realm that is above the realm of the neshama of midos. Where the midos are is like the underlying yesod, the underlying foundation, and mitzvahs are given at a level up. So if a person hasn't fixed his midos, the active mitzvahs in the study of Torah is being applied at a level, but the base level is missing. And that's why mitzvahs are given to the higher seichel, but midos are meant to be more fundamental than that, and therefore if he's missing in midos, he's going to have a very hard time properly implementing and carrying out the mitzvos. And at the end last time we quoted from the Altar of Navardak, Rav Yosef Yosel Horowitz, who I spoke about a little bit, who was a famous Musar figure, or in some ways an extreme Musar figure, but in his Sefer Madrigas Adam, talks about that when the angel, the Chazal describe, our sages describe that when the angels said, "What are you giving the Torah to man for?" And God responds, all these mitzvahs about not having hatred, not having jealousy, you're not susceptible to those things. You see that the way we clinch the Torah is exactly because we have to work on our midos. Angels don't have to work on their midos. They are the way they are. Only man has this task. So it's so central to everything that we do. And he says that's why the Torah spells out the Parsha of Eliezer, the servant of Avram, getting away for Yitzchak, all the acts of Chesed and the way he spoke and all of that, whereas other things that we consider very important in the Torah only derive from a letter and a word, but here you have a whole narrative spelled out at length, and then when he repeats it, because it's a lesson in Midos, and Midos have to be spelled out more clearly in all of the pitchavkas of the Torah, which we take very seriously, and we take Halacha extremely seriously, is really all... He doesn't use this phrase, but Letzarev Behemes Abrios. The Torah was given to purify man and his midos. Those were the basic ideas we saw last time. So I'm on page Hey, the first full paragraph. U'bozeh ya'ar lanu divrei ha-medrash. And with this, the words of the Medrash are illuminating. She'amar le'HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Yisrael. That God said to Yisrael, this is a Medrash in the 8th paragraph of Shir HaShirim. I'll give you the context of this medrash. This is a very stirring medrash. The medrash tells gives a little parable there of a king who threw his subjects into the dungeon or into prison because they had misbehaved, they had committed crimes, and then he goes and says, "I'm going to go take a listen to see what they're saying." And here's them saying, "Our king is our praise, our king is our master, we shouldn't fall short in our service of him." And even though they're in the dungeon, they're saying, "We really have to serve our king, we're committed to him, we're faithful to him." And he calls down and he says, "Whatever you're saying, say it louder so your friends up above will hear it." And the friends above refers to the malachim. I've mentioned many times we have this ongoing tension between the malachim and man, the angels and man, and Hashem is the referee, because the angels don't get it. They don't understand why Hashem would give Torah to people who have yetzaharas and do the wrong thing. So he's showing the angels, no, this is what man is about. In fact, what it says there is when Jews go into shul on Shabbos, it says on Shabbos, and they daven, and they read the Torah, and they say Kedusha, and the angels hear this. That's why Kedusha on Shabbos is a big thing, where we invoke the teachings of the Malachim. So that's the context of this phrase now. So then it says in the Medrash, which is what Rabbi Kestenbaum quotes here, Tenu Daitche means pay attention, apply your mind, Shalotisna Uzezeh, Velosakan Uzezeh, Velosacharchar Uzemzeh, that you shouldn't have hatred one to another, you shouldn't have jealousy, you shouldn't have intense competition, unfair competition. Lo savishu zelaze, you shouldn't do bad one to another. Shelo yomru malachei hasharis lefanai. So the angels should not say before me, Ribono Shel Olam Torah Shenasata L'Ham Yisrael Einan Oskin Ba. The Torah that you gave the people of Israel, they don't toil in it. They're not busy with it. It's a shocking line in the Medrash. You're doing everything great, but be careful. Don't have sinas chinam, don't have bermidas one to another, lest the angels will say, and again from the context, the whole point of that Medrash is that the people have to impress the angels.
So angels are allowed to judge.
Yeah, well, they get a big vote upstairs. Wow. When Hashem has his head. No, you see in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur when they have when he holds court.
They have one mission, right?
Yeah, whatever they're doing, they do that.
Seems like a conflict.
Right. There's a very beautiful teaching that in the Ilah, Hashem kicks the angels out because they don't get the human foibles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to cook the books a little bit in a way that the angels can't.
He's on our side, that's why.
In fact, there's a beautiful Meshach Chochem about that that I know Rav Elie Yisveh used to always say over at the Ilah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more rachamim. The angels are a little bit, they have horse blinders a little bit. If I get hit by lightning, you know. But they do their job perfectly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to pick up on rachmanus and things and nuance that the angels might not. But we find this repeatedly. So he's saying, if you have hatred one to another, if you don't have proper midas in your interactions, the malachim are going to say, Hashem, you gave them the Torah and they don't toil in it. Ain't an oskin, but they're not busy with it. To us, it sounds like a non sequitur. What do you mean? I was just studying Torah. You're giving away the punchline. I was just studying Torah for 12 hours, and the angels are going to say I'm not busy with it. Kilomar, meaning to say, Shachadosh Baruch Hu Omer LeYisrael, Hashem says to Yisrael, Shaleim LiZer LeSaken Midosim. It's upon them. It's incumbent upon them to fix their midos. She'im Lokein. That abbreviation is She'im Lokein, beginning of a line. Yiyeh lamalachim pischon peh. The angels will have, literally means an opening of the mouth, it means they'll have a claim, lomar, to say, they'll have some valid claim to say, sha'torah haisa ru'uya li shari etzlam, that the Torah should have remained with them, kemo she'amru batchila kanal, as they said originally. That was the medrash we saw last week, where the Maran Shabbos, where the angels said, what are you giving it to man for? Hashem says, I'm giving it to man because they're the people who can take the Torah and work on their midos. So then if we study Torah all these hours, and we don't work on our midos, the angels say, what was that? We learn from this measure, somebody who studies Torah, but doesn't fix his midos properly, he's not considered to be toiling in Torah. It's just an intellectual pursuit. It's not registering in his character. Kamavur b'loshon chazal, as is clearly expressed in the words of our sages, Chazal as Chachameinu Zechronim Levracha, an abbreviation we use, a term we use to refer to the rabbis of the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Medrash, Shelo Yomru Hamalachim, that the angels should not say, Torah Shanasat Elohim LeYisrael Einan Oskin Ba. If we don't have proper midas, they will say, the Torah you gave the Jewish people, they are not Osek, they are not busy with it.
So it's interesting that they don't say that they use Oseg B'Torah like Beheravna, then they don't do Lilmud Torah. So, but that Talmud Torah Kenega Kulam, you could argue what they're intentionally saying Oseg as opposed to.
Yeah, Oseg usually has a connotation of really
they're
taking
working
it
at it as opposed to just someone who's sitting and learning.
Right.
No offense about sitting and learning, it's always a good thing.
The word Lilmud really means like habituation.
But the mitzvah is to limud. Is there a mitzvah to lo seik?
Sometimes we use like catch-all terms, but if you want to get technical in the real nuance of the word, lamud really means like habitual learning. Mitzvah sanashim milumada. The Navi criticizes the Jewish people for doing mitzvah, says milumada. Lamud almost means habituated. And some of learning is, especially in times of old, when the Torah was transmitted orally, you had to get the text. Okay, there's a question, there's three answers, and there's a proof. Question, three answers, proof. It's what they call girsa or limud. Asek is to really unpack it, is to analyze it, to be busy with it, which is the deeper level of analysis. So what the malachim would be saying is they think they're osek, but they're not.
Is there a mitzvah, la osek b'Torah, the way the mitzvah is lilmud Torah, which is the mitzvah?
The Torah is the word v'shinantam. It does use the word lamadatam. Lamadatam osam espanechem. It says v'shinantam. Two times the Torah talks about studying Torah. Shinun means sharp. It should be really well-developed and well-inculcated within you. But he uses shinun, which is even a stronger word.
So how does this apply to women? Because the women, like, we're not supposed to really, you know, sit and learn. It's not really our mitzvah, but we are supposed to work on our midos.
Right. What exactly one learns is not the point, though. It's what effect that has on us.
But it's not a mitzvah for women to, you know, sit there and learn Torah all day.
That's a whole other shir.
but is there a mitzvah for women?
Mitzvah of Talmud Torah for men and for women is different. There may be a mitzvah, it's a subcategory of Hakel, which is specifically a mitzvah of women to learn, but it's not the same. But what's equal is the effect it's supposed to have on character.
It takes less for us to build our character.
Which there could be. Could
more
be
in touch that, with
that could be.
Feeling outnumbered?
Yeah, no.
Right.
And on the other hand, the person can learn a lot and not have it affect the character. That's what the Musar movement was the Yisrael Salantifa. People are learning the same Torah they were learning before, but it's not having the right effect, so we need to make a slight shift of emphasis to have it penetrate. And in each generation, you have to look at what it takes to, get from the head to the heart.
But there's a difference in hearing it, learning it, and then actualizing it.
Right.
And acting upon it. And that's...
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, in the tikkun of midos, it should be something that can be done even without physical action. The next step is to carry that out. Rav Huttner has an introduction to one part of his sefer that he says, unlike the study of other halachos, if I learn the halachos of how to build a sukkah, but it's still sitting on the floor, I didn't build it yet. Mm. But if you learn the halachos of how we're supposed to think and feel, one can actually be being mekayim, you can be fulfilling it as you're sitting there. There's still are things to follow through on. Okay, you're full of mercy, go act merciful. Right, so that's the next step. But in terms of the development of character, it can be done without any physical action, so to speak.
I think it's harder. I think it's more mental and emotional. It's a change in meaning. It's much harder than, you know,
absolutely.
Going to do a mitzvah.
Absolutely, which is really his next section.
To internalize it.
Yeah, sure.
Harder.
It's a lot easier to do an action than to...
I mean, you can do the action, but it doesn't mean that it changes your behavior.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can change it for that instant, but not for...
Well, if you give tzedakah, you gave tzedakah. Yeah.
No, but you have to give tzedakah with the right attitude. You have
you
to have
should.
The right.
You
have
should.
To be in your heart.
We possibly mitzvos can really be done with minimal kavana. If you want to do it better, you got to do it with kavana. But fixing the midos can only be done by fixing the midos. Mm-hmm. I can do certain mitzvos. I did them with the minimal amount of kavana required. That is a fulfillment of the mitzvah. I don't have to have the loftiest thoughts.
Like benching lulav.
Yeah, that's right.
Pick
it up. You do the mitzvah. A whole halachic discussion. Mitzvahs trichos kavan or ein trichos. Do mitzvahs actually require intent or not? But certainly the reason why this is harder is because there's no way to do this unfocused. There's no way to do this without work on the character. So which is exactly his next theme. Tikkun hamidos hu davar pnimi. Fixing the midos is an internal thing, an internal matter. Brief disclaimer, and that is this sefer was written assuming that the reader is a man, I believe, but you'll notice that in the upcoming paragraphs, but equally applicable to women. Please do not use what you're about to read as a weapon. It's a domestic weapon, and you'll see what I mean in a moment. So, matu bebei medrasha, that's an expression that means it's brought in the base medrash. There's some things we don't have an exact source for, but it's something that's been said over in base medrash many times and for many years. B'shem Rabbeinu Chaim Vital, Zechron Lebrach. In the name of Rabbeinu Chaim Vital, whom we quoted last week, I have to mention that the word Vital is the same as Chaim, right, vital. It's a Latin translation of his first name, but the great Rav Chaim Vital, who was the disciple of the Arizal, didn't write that much. A lot of his teachings are recorded by his students. And this is a teaching they say over in the name of Rav Chaim Vital, Ki midosav shel adam nimdados ach vera kefi yachaso el ishto. A person's midos are measured only by his relationship with his wife. which I would say for this context, with his spouse, or I would say with anybody who you have close, ongoing, regular interaction. And you'll see from what he's saying, just in a nutshell, the things that people do in their public persona. He's a big Baal Chesed, he's great at this, he's great at that. There's things people do when they're interacting with people and only have occasional interaction with. So he can go into the room and kick the wall 50 times afterward. But when he's with people, he's very nice. But if it's an ongoing, recurring interaction where you don't need to gain any accolades anymore, that's where the honest presentation of the person comes out. Again, he's speaking to men, so he says a relationship with a wife. I think it could be with a spouse. It really could be with any people whom we have regular guard down interactions. Is that fair? Okay. You have to agree with me. That's the rule of the class. Ve'aleinu lehisbonen. It is upon us to contemplate. Lama nimdados midoso shel adam rakafis naguso mishter. Why would it be that, again, I'm going to use it the way he said it, why would it be that a person's midos are measured only per his nahig, the way one conducts himself, the way yefirzach? Can we speak Yiddish here?
No.
We'll give this shir in Yiddish. Fear is to lead. Okay. Wie sagt man auf Englisch Fearsich?
Englisch Fearsich, Englisch.
No, Fearsich, where we conduct ourselves. Fear.
Yeah.
Fear is to lead. Zich is oneself. So the way you. Fearsich, it doesn't quite. So, Kafias Nahagusamish, the way he conducts himself, in Hebrew, Lahit Naheg is. Nahag is a driver. Lahit Naheg is the way you drive yourself, the way you conduct yourself. Fearsich. All right, we have to speak a little yeshivis here, okay?
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm So, kefiyas nagusam ishta v'lo yedei shara nagosav, sheyesh lo adam el-acher. Why not all the other things? He's got all kinds of other interactions with other people. Why not anything else? V'af shenochon hadavar sheyachas shebein ha'adam l'ishto choshev yosem yachas v'shel adam l'chaver, even though certainly it's true that one's relationship with one's spouse is more important than relationship with others. As will be explained later in the section, each meat he calls an olam. So there's a section called Olam HaKas, the world of anger. You don't want to stay there for too long. But in Olam HaKas, it says Os Tes, it's actually Os Yud. I took a peek, it's slightly off. Mikomakom, Yesh Loses Tam Nochon Lama Rak Buzeha Adam Nidan. But we have to give a proper reason why only this. I mean, it's an important relationship, but why is that the whole measure? Va'od, furthermore, Ali Yitokin Sherov Zmano Nimtza Adam Mechutz Lebeso Yachem Manashim Acherim. It could be the person spends most of his time out of the house with other people. Imkein Hech Shayech Limdo Es Midosa Rakafis Nagusum Ishtosh Einzerak Zman Muot. For some people, very busy, and the interaction with a spouse is. It's a minimal part of the day, so why are you measuring the person's whole midos based on that? He had a whole day full of other activity. We should, give that some prominence in the measuring of midos.
I think there's a medrash that I can't exactly place, but if you were in, Gary brought it home from Hashkama, Steve Goldman made a CM on Demaya.
Yeah.
So there's something in it about a story that the wife didn't take my serve from the spices, and then there's some kind of a nace. So why did he deserve a nace? Because of the shalom bias that he didn't yell at his wife, which is sort of related, right?
Yeah.
I don't know it completely, but it seems like a good example of how he treated his wife.
Yeah. Which is the only halacha in the Torah that relies on an open miracle is the Sota ritual, which is meant to reinstate the confidence and the relationship between husband and wife. Like most things in Torah, we don't rely on a miracle here. It's a ritual that relies on a miraculous demonstration from Hashem. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes very beautifully in a Sefer on Chumash and Parshas Noso, because when it comes to other things, so if the Rebbe told me it's good, if the Novi told me it's good, people will rely on that. But when it comes to this kind of thing, we need it right from the top. You need it right from Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. So there's a divine revelation, and the purpose is not for the negative. The purpose is to confirm the positive. Anyway, that's all correct, but still, it still needs explanation. Ella Beir Hadavar Hu, the explanation may, yeah, it's a very important relationship, but why should that be the sole measure? And you know, things lose in translation. Mida means measure. You notice he's saying that midosav nimdados, that's the same word. Mida, we'll talk about soon, is, means measure. So a person's midos are measured. His measurements are measured. So it's as follows. Shechovas hamidos einena davar chitzoni greda. The obligation of midos is not something external alone. Greda means alone. Shemutol alena, that is placed upon us and cometh upon us, leznag macher v'chesed uveneimus, that it's incumbent upon us to conduct ourselves with others with kindness and with pleasantness. One summer, I spent every day in camp at breakfast listening to a producer of mine who was very taken with Stephen Covey's books. And every morning he preached to me how to read Stephen Covey's books. It almost ended in a homicide. But he was very into it. He told me certain Rosh Yeshiva and Bali Musa he spoke to, he said, yes, yes. But if you look at the beginning and think of the Seven Habits, he talks about how there's been a transformation from where the early, quote-unquote, self-help books were more about developing your character, and the more recent ones are all about just winning strategies. If you act like this, people do what you want them to do. It's not about character. And he wants to go back to character.
Highly effective people, yeah.
How to be effective. If I smile at you, you'll do what I want you to do, but that doesn't make me any better. It's a technique. I'm good at something.
Transactional.
Right. So that's Musar. That's what he's saying here. There are people who have, they say the right thing, and they know how to make you feel good, which is a chesed, but that's not midas. Okay? Ela davar pnimi. It's something internal. Shenisakin is rikshosenu hapnimi, that we should fix our inner feeling. The regesh is a feeling. Sheyu mushlamim kafir tzona Torah. They should be complete. Shlemus doesn't translate well. In English, you say something is shalom, you mean it's complete. And in Hebrew, we speak about shlemus, pursuing shlemus. Complete is not quite the right translation, but it means we're supposed to, it's development, that we should be developed per the will of the Torah. Ukashem shemavinam anu, shekina himida shetmuna b'leva. Just as we understand that jealousy is something that's hidden, Tamun means hidden in the heart of man. Kainhu b'chol hamidas. So is it true in all midas, right? Sometimes a person has jealousy, they don't want to show it, but really I'm unhappy that that person has that. I wanted that. I wish I could be like that. Lamashal, for example. Misha gomel chasadim harvint on page Vavna. A person who does a lot of chesed. Zeu davar gadol ma'od. It's very great. People needed things, and I supplied them. People needed support, and I gave it. It's wonderful. This is something we all have to think about. It's still not clear. Borur means clear. When you do borur on Shabbos, you're taking some mixture of food that was inedible because it wasn't cleansed, and you're taking out the impurities, and now you're making it borur. Mm. When you have a thought and it's not fully worked out, it's not borur, same word. So we don't know if this has been acquired. The commotion of Aramir Tashem Bolma Chesed, as we'll explain more in that section of the book. Chovas tikkun hamidos hu l'sakein es pnimiyosenu. It's to fix our insides. Shamidos yu tevuos b'nafshenu. That the midos should be like inculcated. I mentioned last time that the word teva, which we translate as nature, but teva in Hebrew is a word that's like matbeya. It means it's something that's been minted. It's you've been made that way. Sometimes we refer to teva rishon, our original nature, the way we were made, and sometimes what we call second nature. Second nature means you worked on yourself so much that now your natural reaction is kind. Your natural reaction is thoughtful. Maybe I wasn't that way, but maybe you know you work on your midos. So we need our insights to be tevuos. It becomes natural within us. Ukefi shehishlem ha'admas pnimiyuso kein yesh limdoros midosu. Per the degree to which a person has developed this, pursued shlemus and his insides, that's how you measure his midos. It's not an act, it's a feeling, it's a development. Emor me'ata, that's a rabbinic expression that means, like us, say from now, meaning based on what we said, one would conclude. Im tirtza ladas mahu apnimius amiti shel adam, if you want to know what's the true apnimius of a person, the inside of a person, alecha liros hech misnaga mishto. How does he conduct himself with his wife? Again, I would say his spouse or anybody where there's a very casual, natural, a guard down kind of relationship. Matzino anashim, we find people. Shanirim kanashim tovim, they look like good people. Bali midos v'gom lechesed, they have midos and they do chesed. Avu b'veisam ne'pochem lanashim acherim lagamrei. But in their houses, they turn around. They become entirely different people. Ve'inam esnagim kishur, they don't conduct themselves properly. I'm not sure saying with their wives. Unfortunately, to our chagrin, due to our sins, we have many houses in Israel where it's full of dispute. The explanation of this thing is Kevin Shiratona Adam Hulim Tilchain Baini Abriyas. A person wants to find favor in people's eyes. Adam, that he should be beloved and prominent in the eyes of people. Therefore, even without much contemplation, he conducts himself with them with pleasantness. It's a strategy. It's not a meat, it's a strategy. But certainly doesn't want to do anything that's evil before them. Because then he's concerned, what will people say about me? We find thus, Imkain, Ebazoi, for him, if so. Shekol hanhaga umida tova sha'osa avor acherim hu shalal lishma. All the midas and the good things he does for others, it's all shalal lishma. It's not for the real sake.
Sha'osa kin rakid. Rabbi Steinberg?
Yeah.
In our mishpucha, we always said, you know, it's a shanda balaitin.
Right.
So if it's a shanda balaitin, you can't do it either.
Right. For the Yiddish impaired, it's an embarrassment by people. That's certainly true. We're not supposed to cause a chil Hashem. There are times when, at the very least, we just have to conduct ourselves properly. The things of, even if I'm not quite there yet personally, but at least don't go act that way in public. That's certainly true. But here we're talking about really doing the work of Tikkun HaMidos, and what he's saying is, if the sum of all of my behavior is just because I'm afraid of being embarrassed in front of people, so that's a devastatingly lacking character. There's no midas developed there. But you're right, yeah, there are times when at the very least we should just think about, well, at least don't do that publicly. You're right.
But then maybe it's more honest to be really the way you are. I mean, maybe it's more honest to be like crass than it is to pretend when it's really just a lie anyway.
So there are instances where there's a balance. I think there are moments when a person isn't sure, should I not pretend to be more developed in my midos here than I really am? I was once at a shiva home where people were acting very emotional, and it was a little much, and there was a very prominent Rosh Hashiva there who was just sitting very, very stoic, very stoic. And I think he felt they're trying to look sensitive, but be yourself. Don't be someone, you know. I think it's true. Some, not to be crass, but there are instances where one has to really analyze: is this a show or is this me? And which one should I be doing more? Sometimes it's more helpful to put on a show if the person really needs help. So sometimes. Do chesed even if you don't feel chesed. Mm-hmm. At least a person's the beneficiary. So it's not so simple. But we're talking about in character development. In character development, if all I do is acts of chesed, doesn't make me a baal chesed.
Okay? But if someone does enough of it, doesn't that then penetrate the character?
Yeah.
So isn't it good? Exactly. So right. Isn't it a good idea just to fake it till you make it?
Right, but you have to want to make it. I refer to a concept which it's very famous. The Sefer Chinuch says it many times in explaining many mitzvos. The Sharam says it, which is Adam Nifal Kafi Pe'ulosov. Man is affected per his actions. Loses in translation. He is acted upon per his actions. I mean, your actions act on you. If you do chesed enough, you become a person of chesed. But I think you have to have the kavana to want to get there. If really everything I'm doing. Sometimes you see politicians for years and years and years, they preach a certain thing or act a certain way, and then when they retire and the guard is down, it's like unbelievable what comes out of there, and you see what they're really thinking. The answer is because they never wanted to be kind. He had to go out, he went to the disaster zone so he'd get votes or whatever. There was no intention of developing the character.
Or fall off.
Huh? Right.
It has to cling to you, or it
right.
will just be.
But I think
the
that the
that
soda is that you have
that
to want it to. We have to want it to penetrate. That is one of the techniques, but we have to want it.
Also, like you could take any mitzvah to an extreme. Like you could see someone who's learning all the time or doing chesed all the time, and it looks like they're doing more and more and more for the community. But at the same time, they could be neglecting their family, their children, their wife.
Right,
if you want to
save the world, take out the garbage.
Exactly.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You don't be such a bothead, you know,
right.
take out the garbage.
Right, that's another, yeah, something that some people are all public. You know.
I've also heard, I think it was Rabbi Kellerman spoke here, and he said that, he was talking about love, the concept of love, and all these couples, they say, well, you know, I just don't love her anymore. He says, love is an action. And if you act as if you love her, you will love her.
Right.
That develops that feeling inside of you.
Yeah, so a lot of people are not really trained about what a relationship really
right.
is.
No, but true.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, absolutely.
But it's a good lesson.
Yeah.
I want to love,
yeah.
so I'm going to act
right.
as if.
Right. Everybody quotes from Dessler, love comes from giving. I have 100%.
Right.
Yeah, and some people have never had any of that. It was all just superficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, it's an education. So last four lines of that middle paragraph, Masha Enken, which is not the case, Bisnaguso Ishto, with his conduct with his wife, Eno Yari Milagalos Esmidos of Haros before now. He's not afraid to reveal his negative midos. Kiavor Hanhaga Tova Mida Tova Eno Makabel Kavod. Yeah, because he doesn't receive honor for behaving nicely. Out in the world, he's getting honor and promotion, and here it's therefore, based on the relationship between the spouses, Efsha Liros im Be'emes Mushlam Hu Bipnimiusa. You're not going to get accolades and awards and standing ovation for Baal Chesed of the Year. How does he really act? Zosvaot, this and furthermore, Kishanimtza Adam Machairim, when a person is found with others, Bakal Yochol Hastiris Rikshosav Apnimium. It's easy, Bakal, it's easy to hide his inner feelings. V'afilum yeshlo adam taromas al chaveira hakarav, even if he has big taromas like complaints. It's something to be misraim is to kvetch thunderously. But our sages use the word taromas. I've quoted in the past, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to point out there that, just as an aside, there are places in the Mishnah where it says, if such and such happened in a business relationship or something, you have no claim. Ein lo olav ela taramas. All he has is the right to complain, to be upset. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, taramas is oich a din, which means the right to have a complaint is also a din. Meaning, in some cases, you don't even have the right to be upset. Here, the sages are saying you have the right to be upset. He said there are cases where it's actionable. You have the right to sue. There's cases where if he was a nice guy, he would pay for it. There's cases where there's no action required, but you have the right to be upset. So Yisrael used to say, even the right to be upset, Chazal categorized our sages. Sometimes, if they didn't say that, then you shouldn't even be upset at him. We walk around and think, well, I'm not going to sue him, I'm not going to do anything illicit, but I have the right to be angry. Yisrael used to say, well, whether you have the right to be angry or not, it also is categorized by Allah and it's limited. But anyway, that's the word taromas. So sometimes a person has all kinds of complaints on a close friend. Or a person he interacts at close distance with. Yochala hastir mimenos tainosav mishtei sibos. But he can hide his feelings for two reasons. Kevin she'eino tzarach tomud lehimotzi bekirvas chaveira, because he doesn't always have to be found in close proximity. Yochala hamtinat she'yavar kaso mimeno. He can wait till his anger subsides. It's not overwhelming, because he has an escape. He doesn't always have to be around him. The Ode, and furthermore, Afilum Tzarach Lios Imo, even when he has to be with him, Hayachas Shebeinehem Eino Machayev Kolkach Ava, the relationship between them doesn't require such love, such closeness, Ad Shehe Nikr Mitoch Masav Sheyesh Lo Tainos Olav, that it would be recognizable from his conduct that he has complaints. We spend a lot of time together. I'm in my cubicle, he's in his cubicle, we talk a lot, but it's not really a close relationship. So I happen not to like him, but I can swallow it and go home at the end of the day. Roll my eyes, we're not so close anyway. Aval yachas shebein ish l'ishto machayev avat midis. But the relationship between spouses requires an ongoing love. V'lochein. And therefore, ma'bal koes al ishto yekashalo lahastiros kaso. He can't really hide it. He's upset, he can't hide it because it's a closer relationship. Yishum shekemat lo shayach, she is naeg ima, but also often top of page zayin, she naeg ima kishaino koesela, because it's such a close relationship that if he's upset, he can't really be acting the way he acts when he's not upset. Va'od, and furthermore, mleiv ha'bal moletainos al ishto, he's going to say now that she is even more astute, so even when he thinks he's not showing anything, she picks up on it. Kemat v'lo shayach shehi v'bina ha'yisera shenitan lo. Kestenbaum didn't even know I was teaching a women's class, but we have a woman with her bina yaseir, which is like an added intuition. As I'll say, when they're a guest, the woman senses to make sure the people at the table more, etc. So, lo targa, it's not possible that she won't pick up on it. And mitamze, because of this, one of the nice things about this sefer, he actually talks about like contemporary phenomena that he sees in the world, that people see, we work with people. We find sometimes a woman is not happy in the marriage. And the husband doesn't understand why. What was that joke I saw? Where he read the memo in the fridge, just meaning there was no beer. He didn't understand she was saying, I'm leaving. What was that? I wish I could remember the joke. But yeah, like, what's the problem?
You'll have to get your own beer?
Yeah, no, like, he misunderstood. He looks in the fridge, what do you mean it's there? But anyway, probably not remembering the joke, just remember the theme of it. Anyway, I never said anything that nice. Yeah, fine. Yeah, he didn't say anything not nice. He conducted himself with derech eretz, but something is missing. She understands the inner feeling. And there, the true love is missing. So she's pained by this. More than that, hayachas bein ish l'ishto rogish mode is very sensitive. Isha regisha lufgiya is baal. A woman is very sensitive to a pigia, means even a slight insult, any negative interaction. V'chein lehebech, I'm saying the other way. V'chadei shetiya ava v'shalom b'neim tzorach tikkun midos amiti g'dei lo lefko echad b'sheini. So based on all that, we understand very well why the Reb Chaim Vital would say what he said. That's an honest relationship. That's a relationship where the nuances are apparent. Me'ata naskil lahavin lama davka b'yachas ben ish l'ishto nuchel lahavchin ima adam hu b'emes bal midos tovos. So now we can understand why it's in that relationship where you can see if a person has good midos. Umuvan heitev. And it is very well understood. Piskamo sh'Reb Chaim Vital Hanal, the aforementioned, Hanal means Hanech Nizkar Le'el, mentioned above. The Piskam. Piskam is an aphorism or a motto of Reb Chaim Vital, ki midosav shel adam nimdados ach v'rak kifi yachas ha'olishta, that man's midos are measured solely by his relationship with his wife. Now, b'sof tfilas ha'amida anu mespalim b'chol yom, at the end of what we call Shemona Esrei, Shemona Esrei means 18, but it's really 19, and on Shabbos it's 7, so the proper name is Amida. Nobody calls it that, but it's the standing prayer. So at the end of the Tefillah of the Amida, we say every day, V'lem kalalai nafshi sidom. It's a very heartfelt prayer that we whisper at the end there, Elokai nitzah, right? So we say it, and to those who curse me, lama kalalai, to those who curse me, nafshi sidom, my soul should be silent. Perush, meaning to say, Shelo rak shelo adaber b'fi neged makalalai. Not just that I shouldn't speak with my mouth against those who curse me, el shagam b'pnimios nafshi lo siya teguva klal. But that even in the innermost places of my soul, there should be no response. Right? Sometimes in your head, you're screaming a response. But it's not tactful, it's not good practice to say it, but it's hard for me not to feel. Oh yeah? You know, like what I'd like if I give him a piece of my mind if I had the opportunity, if you know. But to say, nafshi sidom means my soul is silent, means there's nothing. In the yeshiva where I learned in Queens, I once found the sefer of Michiel Michal of Ostrovtze, who was known as the Yid who fasted for 40 years. He sensed that there was an impending doom to befall the Jewish people, which was the Holocaust, and he thought it could be thwarted, and he fasted every day. He would eat at night, but he's a famous great Rebbe. So once I found it on the shelf, I remember I opened it up. I think this is what I saw there, which is related to what he's going to say here. When Aaron suffers that terrible loss of his sons on what was supposed to be such a happy day, so it says, Vayidom Aaron. He's going to quote it in a second, like the word Nafshisidom. So the Oster of Tzigon said, we have four levels of life. Medaber, the speaking, that's a human being. Chai, animal. Tomeach is vegetative. And Domem. Domem is inanimate. Even though in Kabbalah, even inanimate is animate. Now through science we know that too. Things are moving. Everything's alive. But relative to the others, it's not alive. It doesn't grow like a plant. So a human being, if you hurt a human being, he cries out, ouch, what do you do? You know, he says something. A chai doesn't have words, but it's tzoek. It cries. If an animal is distressed, it will cry out. A plant can't do that, but a plant, you can tell that it's harmed. If you, as long as you see a beautiful tree is growing and somebody, you know, damaged it, you can see it's ruined. But a rock, you take a rock and you smash it, two rocks, four rocks, 12 rocks, whatever, right? There's no effect. There's no pain. I don't see any pain. So when it says Vayidom Aaron, he conducted himself not like a medaber, not like a chai, not like a tzomech, not like a human being, not like an animal that cries out, not like even a plant where you can see the pain, like dirt, like nothing. Well, if the thinking is this doesn't warrant a response, Aaron HaKohen was at such a level of faith in Hashem, this is what it was meant to be. There are differing chazal. Some imply that he did have it, but many say that he just accepted it with absolute tranquility and equilibrium. Kimo shenemer, as it says, Vayidom Aaron.
Isn't there a difference between accepting it yet still feeling like, even though we may know that something is for the good, like for example, you need to get some kind of injection. So the injection is still going to hurt momentarily, but you know that it's for the good. So in this case, I mean, he could have been silent and known this is for the good, but still it may have hurt him.
Right, well, I think this teaching is going a level beyond that, and I don't think we can be Aaron HaKohen. When we suffer pain, that's the whole reason why we were Menachem people, is because it's expected people should have pain. You're talking about Aaron HaKohen here. That's why this is so exceptional, that there was nothing. I don't think we should try it.
I think that Vayidom is also like a meditative quiet mind, like the goal of meditation is to quiet your mind, Vayidom.
Yeah, the moment.
Completely.
Still and silent. Yeah, it's a very high level. In most instances, we're better off processing, thinking, going through the various emotions. That's why this stands out. But in the instance of provocation of anger and other things, we maybe can be Aaron. So let's see. Shelo rak sheshosak mil hisrayim. Not just he was silent from complaining. Al Hashem machmas mises bana because of the death of his sons. Ela kibel alav din shamayim b'leiv shalom. He accepted the judgment of heaven wholeheartedly. V'gam besochechi libo. Even in the innermost parts of his heart. Lo hegiv me'uma. A teguva is a response. Lo hegiv means he didn't respond at all. V'chein matzina shehed akasav al Aaron. Another instance where you find the same thing, where it's not just an outward practice, but it's what was in his heart. Moshe, who was hesitant to take the leadership role of the Jewish people, he has an older brother who is a Kohen, he was the one designated to be in some ways the holy person. So is this right for Aaron? So Hashem tells him, no, Aaron is happy about this. V'gam hine hu yotze l'krasecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. Aaron is going to come out to greet you. He will see you and he will be happy in his heart. The Torah doesn't just say he's accepted it and he's not going to say anything. It says he's happy in his heart for you, his younger brother, to be the leader. Shelo hayelo shum shemetz shel kinah b'libo. There's no vestige. Shemetz is a vestige of jealousy al Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is amazing, by the way, in light of a chazal. I'm almost hesitant to say it in this context, but when Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he had to pass on and Yahushua was going to take over and bring the people into the land of Israel, Moshe prayed, said, just keep me alive. I won't be leader. Let Yahushua take over and I'll just go like as a fly on the wall. And then when Yahushua was given his first summons, Moshe Rabbeinu had to stand on the sidelines. Chazal used an expression, Me'ya misos v'lo kina achas. I'd rather die 100 deaths than one jealousy. What that means at Moshe Rabbeinu's level, I don't know. But to have been the Moshe Rabbeinu and then to have to step to the side, certainly not anything about honor or anything like that, but even just the spiritual meaning of guiding the Jewish people, he couldn't take it. The Chazal.
It's a letting go.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, if our sages hadn't said that, I wouldn't say that. But somehow, even Moshe Rabbeinu, his level, Meya Misas Velo Kinach, has 100 deaths and not one jealousy. Mm-hmm. That's quite a statement. But Aaron here, fine, no problem. That's what it says in Avos Hevi Mitalmidov Shal Aaron, be from the students of Aaron. Oiv Shalom Verodiv Shalom, Oiv Azabrios Makarvan Torah. Love peace, run after peace, love people and bring them close to Torah. What does that mean? Shalom Aspik Shi Yirak Rodev Shalom. See, we think if a person runs after peace, that's great. That's a very high level. He doesn't just make peace when it comes his way. He runs after the pursuit of peace. Ela tzarach gam lehov es hashalom b'pnimius nafsh. You have to love peace within the insides of his soul. V'chein lo maspik rak l'karvan l'Torah. Same thing. I'm a car of people. I brought them close to Torah. That's what we're supposed to do. Ela tzarach gam lehov es. He has to love them. It's not just an act. It's a feeling. It should be an outgrowth. Memela means something that happens automatically. It should happen automatically from the way he feels about people. This is the goal of our lives, to fix our inner feelings. Turning the page. Page Ches. Lefize. Based on this, move on. It is understood, Shiesh Nimusim Tovim V'yesh Midos Tovos. It's two different categories. There's etiquette, and there's Midos. And the twain shall never meet. They could meet, but they're not the same. V'hevdel Shebeineim, the difference between them, Hushe Nimusim Tovim, good practices, etiquette, good conduct, Afal Pishal Yodam, Efshel Akadei Shem Shemayim. As we were talking about before, by way of them, you can make a Kiddush Hashem. If you act properly and nicely, you can make a Kiddush Hashem. And if you're lacking them, God forbid it can cause the opposite. So they're very important. Acting properly is very important. Shetach is the surface. These are just superficial actions. From the lip and outward. The word for lip in Hebrew, safa, means the edge of something. It's really just on the edge. It's not inside. Lokein midos tovos, not so with good midos, shehem tzrichim lios mutba'os benefesh ha'adon. They have to be, as I said before, inculcated within the soul of man, kechelek mimenu, kechelek mimahusa, as a part of him and a part of his essence. It's a very good word in Hebrew, we don't have the same in English. Ma means what? Mahus means the whatness. What are you made of? It's the noun of the what. The what of a person is mahu. What are you made of? Yadua Maforsam, it is known and famous, Shagam Rishom Gamurim, that even absolutely evil people, Shayach Etzlam, it's possible by them, Nimusim Tovim, to have good etiquette. Kemosha Matzano Etzal Natsim Yimachshimam, you find that by the Nazis. They were very proper people. V'yitochen Shinim to Rasha Shuzar Ben Nimusav Afilu Yosef Me'atzadik. You can have a Rasha who's very careful with his conduct, only uses the fourth teaspoon for the fruit cup at the banquet. More than a tzaddik, it's much more refined that way. But that's not refinement. That's you know, he made his tie nice. That's nothing. Moshalama adavar dama, or even something more significant than what I just said. Even where it really is in terms of presenting nicely. What's it like? Lebinyan, a building. Shadavar hachoshuv bayoser hu yisod v'chuzak haksalim v'chulu. What's most important? You have a good foundation and strong walls. How nice is it if you also paint it nicely? You know, if you paint it nicely and you decorate it, that's great. You know, we wanted to save money so we could invest in the interior decorator, the exterior decorator. So we never called an architect. Sorry to mention this. Afilu yeh yafa malim is very beautiful. Av yisodus habinyan chalashim mukokom. It's going to fall in tomorrow. The whole thing's going to fall down. Pashut sheinu shava klum. It's obvious it's not worth anything. V'cheinu etzel ha'adam. So is it by man. Hamidos tovus heima yisodos. They are the foundations. V'zehu adavar hachi chashuv. That's the most important thing. Aval hanimusim hayafim. But good etiquette. Good, you know, how you present. Even though they are necessary in order to make man look nice on the outside, Mikol makom, nevertheless, lav dafka, not necessarily, heimarim al ikra mahusa adam, do they indicate the real essence of a person. And now he cites a story, which is a very painful and powerful story. Ra'isi muva ma'asanor, I saw a frightening and awesome, in the frightening sense, story cited, muva means brought, im hagon rav Avram Elio Kaplan Zatzal. Rav Avram Elio Kaplan, is in some ways a tragedy, he was nifter very young, he was nifter in his 30s. He was the head of the rabbinical seminary in Germany, the Hildesheimer Seminary, before the Sri Deish. Rabbi Chi Yaakov Weinberg took over after him. Earlier had been Rav Hildesheimer. This was it was a famous place of Torah, and he was, as he writes, a Migdoli Talmide Hesava Mislabaka Zatzal. He was one of the great students of the sage of Slabaka, of Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Not the Hirsch Finkel, was the great. He was one of these great and inspiring Musar personalities who we who never saw him can't begin to imagine it. But people like Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and his cohorts, they would say, oh, you can't understand, you never saw the altar. He was something to behold. He was also an extremely hidden person. He never let people see him learning. There were stories when the boys would stay up late at night learning, and then they would come over to the altar and want to discuss something learning. He was up learning. He would sneak into his bedroom, and he'd have the Rebbetzin pretend she was waking him up. He was a gaon, but he made it look like he was a hidden person. But he was one of the great Bali Musar. So Shabba Itzel Rabba Hasaba Zatzal. So this Rav Avram Elio Kaplan, who again would have been probably more famous had he had a longer life, but he was a great figure, a great Talmud of the Alter Slabodka. So he came to his Rebbe Acher Shashoa Kamazman beGermania. He had been in Germany for a while. V'sha'alu hasaba hasnagus hagermanim. The Altav comes, tell me something about the German's character. V'heshiv, and he answered, shem bali midos tovos. He's probably young at the time, he may have been a teenager. He said that they have good midos. Sharei l'moshalim echad tzarech l'das heich l'agiyah l'mkom plan. For example, if somebody asks directions, how do you get somewhere? Lo yashivu l'rak lech l'imin o l'smol. They won't say take a left or a right. El mesaimim hadavar b'loshen she'ela. Not familiar with this type of idiom or speech, but there was some kind of thing they would add, ha'im ze lokain, like something like nitos, like when they would say something, they'd say, you go this way, correct? Like it's sort of like a humble way of explaining, this way, no, is it not so? Is it not so? So he said that there's something in their character, it's very refined. Even when they're the ones who are giving the direction, they make it like a question, it's humble. Shehu derech hachna, which is out of a sense of humility. So what happened? I imagine Rav Avram Elio Kaplan was a Talmud. He was probably a boy at the time. V'inyan ze nesa oz l'machlokas ben bachar ha-yeshiva. It broke out into a debate. He had just said that Germans are very refined in their midos. Hagon Rav Yitzchak Huttner zatzal. Rav Yitzchak Huttner, who was also a student of the Alter Slabodka, he later became the Rosh Yeshiva of the great Chaim Berlin Yeshiva in New York until his passing in 1979-1980, and other bachrim. So I'm going to summarize here because we're basically out of time, but they started getting into a debate, does that really indicate refined midos, or should we not be learning from that? So there was some, but one of the students there said, no, we, our sages say we're supposed to learn from everybody, we should learn from them, they have some kind of better midos that we can learn from, as evidenced by the way they express themselves. So, it's a little bit of a harsh story. But 50 years later, as he writes in the bottom here, Rav Huttner is giving a shiur, and an old man comes in and sits down. And at the end of the shiur, the man says, do you remember me? We were together in Slabodka. He said, we once had a debate. I was the one who was saying that you can learn a lot from the way the Germans conduct themselves. So Rav Huttner went to give him a shalom aleichem, and he had no hand. And he described how the Nazis cut off his hand, and before doing so, they used the same type of terminology. And he said, you were right. So a bit of a painful story. But that story is emblematic of many other things that we know from what Nazi Germany was like. Not everything that's etiquette comes from any development of Midas. In fact, if anything the Nazis taught us, is that a person can have external polish and be so rotten at the core they could be monsters. So that's a lesson in the extreme. Right? You can have etiquette that's totally disconnected from character development, but for our purposes, what the idea of this whole lesson is, as the heading said, that tikkun amidas is a davar panimi. It's important for me to do chesed. It's important for me to provide and supply help where I can and do outward actions, but that's not necessarily development of midos. Development of midos is on the inside. It's most evidenced in the relationships where the guard is down and then that there's no escape from. You forgive me for referring to marriage that way, but where you know you can't say I'll get away from it, and then I'll let off steam. But I think that's a very, very powerful lesson. And as we approach the coming weeks of Mitzvah Hashem to work on Midas, we should think of it that way. This is not a self-help book. How to get people to do, you know, the habits that get people to do what you want. It's about tikkun amidas. And the Rambam said, I have to fix my Midas, even if it doesn't play out in action. Certainly, I have to do actions that are mitzvahs. But fixing the midos per se, so we should remember the distinction between etiquette and midos, and we'll continue next week.